the Macho Man Randy Savage, and when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
And we are back. This is Knockout Radio, coming to you live from our title sponsor, Tournament Day Pizza.
No. That's the last time you talk.
Our platinum endorsement.
I guess an invoice is going to be dropped off.
You can get dropped off all you want. It's not going to get paid.
Then you better not say what you just said.
You can leave all of them. Leave a letter and I'll certify it and have the people come and let me sign it.
That was funny.
Hilarious. So what's next? We're reaching out right now to get Laura on.
Okay.
And we'll talk about yesterday's episode that was filmed months ago. Because they were filming it when you and I were there.
Yeah.
We were at the Apex.
Of course.
So when you tried to get on and you tried to stick your face in front of the camera. And
oh, I'm a star. I mean, look, I don't know why you guys don't recognize my talent like I do.
Because you don't have any.
Well.
Okay, so hot off the press, the NFL, the owners, thinking about taking the Pro Bowl away.
Thank God. Get rid of that thing. Well, the Pro Bowl, none of the players that are actually good are in it. Like, they're still playing in the Super Bowl.
None of the players that are any good.
Like, they're still playing the season. Like, the ones that make it to the Super Bowl, like, they're still in camp. They still got practice. They're still going for the big, you know, Lombardi Trophy. Yeah. And then they have the Pro Bowl before all that. Then they give out awards for, like, best and MVP and this, and they haven't even completed the season.
Those are regular season awards, so it doesn't.
I think get rid of the thing. Like, nobody needs to go to Hawaii.
Well, it's not Hawaii. It got moved to Orlando.
Oh. It's in Orlando now. Wow. So this is, the key problems with the Pro Bowl. The reason why NBA All-Star Weekend is so massively successful and the Pro Bowl is not in recent years. One, All-Star Weekend is in the middle of the season. And I think the players get, like, a week break before and then, like, a few days afterwards. So it's, like, it's like a big break in between. Problem with the NFL is it's such a physical sport. I'm not playing a meaningless game in the middle of the season.
Right. At the end of the season. Like, I'd be all beat up after 16 games,
and
70
also,
games.
Also, there's not that many. NBA's 80 games, so at 40 games, you can be like, yeah, he's an all-star. In 8 games, you're not going to be like, oh, man, this is the best left tackle in the NFL. I don't know yet. You might be bad the next 8 games, and that's like a big sample size, right? And because it's physical, it's at the end of the season. A lot of guys opt out because, like, hey, I don't need the $60,000 to come to Pro Bowl. I'm making a lot of money as it is. And you still get the credentials of being a Pro Bowler, whether or not you're playing the game. And then also guys are like, hey, man, offseason about to start. I'm about to get hurt because the chance of me getting – in the NBA, they don't play defense either in the All-Star game. The score is 140 to 145. Dudes is letting people throw bounce pass off the ground for dunks. Right? But – why people love football is that it's physical and there's big hits and there's tackling. You know, there's like, you know, people don't really play hard till the last 5 minutes of the game in the Pro Bowl. So I understand, like, and the owners are paying for this, paying for guys to go to the game and do all these things. So I understand it, but I think they should find a way to tweak it and find a way to make it better. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Instead of taking it away because it's a part of the game.
Just put names in there that I know.
I was told a story that on the player show many, many years ago. I think I remember who told me, so I'm not going to say the name only because, you know me, I don't remember last week's fight. He was a rookie, and he made the Pro Bowl. And another Tampa Bay Buccaneer Pro Bowler who was there as a Pro Bowl player said, hey, listen, we're going to have a meeting later tonight. So give me your room number, and we'll make sure that you know when and where the meeting is. Do you know what's coming?
They put all stuff on his tab.
Oh, he had a tab when he went to check out that was more than he made, I'm sure, being in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
You learn never give out your room number.
I've been at dinners where guys get left with a tab. Like, hey, I'm going to the bathroom. Next thing you know,
they peeled off.
All the guys went to the bathroom and left you there. Next thing you know, they text you like, hey, make sure you pay that tab. Meet us at the bar.
Now, is this just for rookies that happens to, or it can be anybody?
Usually young guys, first or second year guys. It'll happen. And, I mean, most of the time, it's not outrageous. They're not going to – I feel like guys these days are pretty nice.
Nah.
Nowadays.
I think I told you the story, and I'll tell it again on the air.
Yeah.
This has still bothered me, and it has nothing to do with me. And I think I even said it to you. And I think it could have been somebody else, somebody that looked like you, like Alex. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but a rookie dinner. They all went out to dinner. It was in Orlando. Training camp was in Orlando. And the bill came, and this particular player ordered a $1,000 bottle of champagne and then two to take back to his room. Now, it's none of my business. I thought that was awful. I mean, it's bad enough you're doing it at the restaurant and so forth and so on, but to do that and then order two bottles at $1,000 a piece, whether you can afford it or not, to me was just a little
bit. Was it his rookie dinner?
It was the rookie dinner.
Yeah.
Right. Well, again, I did ask.
If we're just going out to eat.
No, this was the rookie dinner.
Then, like, no, that's despicable. You know what I'm saying? You don't do all that. But like, if it's rookie dinner, it's one of those things where you prepare yourself.
But really, you know, boxing it up and taking it back is, don't you think that's, I mean, it's all the rookie bonding, because we don't want to use the other word. And I had to go through all that. Kelly had to go through that in the military. To a certain point, it's like in the Navy, I'm sure every branch has this, but in the Navy, it's called tacking your crow on. So as you make rank, you literally punch it on. Okay. And you can't, it's like carrying shoulder pads. It's part of the deal, right? Well, you're supposed to just do a love tap. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just supposed to do a love tap. Well, there was a guy on our ship that was very well disliked. They broke his arm.
Wow.
By hitting him so hard. Wow. Or, you know, you tack your like bars, like your wings. So you take the backing out and you literally, they're hitting it into your chest. I mean, that's going overboard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing, you know, the deal is you're going to get the tab. But I just think it's going overboard. Can you box me up a couple lobsters?
For me, general dinner etiquette is order the way you'd order if I wasn't paying for it.
Right. I'm okay with that.
And so when you go out with guys and everybody there makes good amounts of money, if we go to a regular dinner, it's like, hey, man, come to dinner with me. I'm paying. And I'm taking another offensive lineman out, and he orders a steak, and he goes, hey, I'm going to take my wife a lobster to go. I'm not going to feel weird about it, because I know you're going to do that either way it goes, whether I'm paying or not.
Right.
You know?
I would have a problem with that personally.
So, like,
even if you would do it anyway. Well, again, if you're going and, you're not part of this little circle. I mean, I get it. It's what you guys do, and then he's going to do it, you know?
The next one, you know, right. He's going to pay the next time, and it's like, hey, like, you know, like.
I'm you a, pass it down.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I'm going to take something from my girl home, and it's one of those things where it's like, and we. Kind of how we did it when I was in Tampa, when I loved our O-line dinners. We would be like, hey, like, you know, you want to take something home for your girl? Like, guys will ask you, like, hey, if you want to take something to go, let
them know. Well, then that's different. And again, if you're saying, hey, I know it's on, if you're, I just think it's stepping over the line. But again, that's me. You know, you guys are a close-knit unit, know the guy next to you is trying to take your job, and you might as well take, you might as well take an extra meal home, too.
Now, isn't it the strangest dynamic in the world?
So what would you do about the Pro Bowl different that would get you excited about going to play, to be a part of it, to make it spectacular? Like, what suggestion do you have?
I mean, they tried it this year with all the skills competition. I mean, they do skills competition every year, you know, so that is one of the things they should keep. But, like, man, it's tough. Like, it really, really is tough because, again, the game is so innately physical. And, guys, when the season's over, like, I'm not trying to hit you anymore.
Was being in Hawaii a big deal? Is it like a vacation in a beautiful tropical island?
I mean, yes, that is. But you got to understand, fans weren't flying out to Hawaii to go watch guys not tackle each other.
All right, let's go hit a break, and then when we come back, we are going to talk about yesterday's episode of The Ultimate Fighter. And like I said, it was really cool, and we'll get into it why, as well as a very special guest will be coming on momentarily as well. Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Rock Newman, and when I'm in Tampa, I listen to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com.
If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Larry Boeft, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone.
Platinum sponsor.
Last night's episode of The Ultimate Fighter was called Opportunity Knocks, and you'll find out why if you didn't watch it and if you missed it.
That was a great movie, Dana Carvey.
You do need to go back and watch it. Let's welcome to the program Laura Gallardo. Laura, how are you?
Hey, guys, everyone. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. We appreciate the time, and let's get right into it. And, you know, when I saw the screener and it said Opportunity Knocks, obviously I didn't know what to expect. As I'm watching it, wow. So first, let's start with how did you find out, and did you know you were an alternate, and how did that whole thing work out?
So I did know I was an alternate. I went the first week, and then we went through all the medicals, and then they just told me that I wasn't going to be on. And they said, just stay ready just in case things happen. You know, people catch COVID, people can drop out, and we just want you ready. So they flew me back, and then I think that Thursday, so it was only maybe 3 days later, someone called me and said, hey, do you still want to be on the show? Someone just dropped out. And I was like, oh, my God. Yes, I want to be on the show. So then I flew out on Saturday, and then they introduced me on Sunday. So it all happened so fast. I left, I came back, and then, you know, went inside the house and met everybody.
You know, fighters are always told, Caleb, you know, plays in the NFL and always says, you know, he's got to be ready. Fighters always have to be ready, always have to be ready. How difficult was it to not initially be on the show, go home, and know, well, I need to prepare just in case?
You know what? From, like, an emotional viewpoint, maybe it was a little difficult because I felt like a little heartbreak that I didn't get chosen. But outside of that, I had already had the mentality like, okay, I was going to fight on the show. I'm not going to get picked. I'm going to fight anyways. So I spoke to my manager, and we were already looking for fights after we found out that I wasn't going to get chosen or that I may be an alternate. So I came back already training, stepping into like a training camp, already trying to like be prepared, stay prepared for a possible fight. So when they called me back, I was like, man, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to fight. Like, put me in.
What was the nerves like for you going into the house, and how did you kind of subdue those and combat those?
Is it like changing school, like in the middle of school, you know, changing homeroom or something?
Yeah, I guess you can actually put it that way. It felt, you know, going to the house not knowing anybody, it did feel kind of intimidating. But my team was so awesome. Like, they were so welcoming. They showed me around. They kept me close. Like, they didn't alienate me because I was the new girl. So I felt very welcomed. And then going into the house, you know, they take away your phone. You can't have books. You can't have your phone. You can't have your laptop. You can't have TV. You don't have, like, any communication with, like, your home base. So I, like, already came in with, like, I meditate. I do yoga. I journal. Like, already came in with tools that can, like, calm my nervous system in, like, times where, you know, I feel a little distressed.
We ask every athlete that comes on, and I've been covering the Ultimate Fighter since the very first one. You know, the first thing you do, and most of the time we're told, you know, we go find the bed we want. We go to find the room we want. You didn't get that opportunity. So I'm just curious, would that have been the room and would that have been the bed that you would have taken if you went in initially?
Honestly, no.
I love your honesty.
The rooms have no doors, so it was, like, in between two other rooms. I would have picked, like, going into the house. I don't know if you have a visual of the house. To your left-hand side, it's almost like no one goes over there. I would have picked the furthest room from, like, away from everybody. And then the roommate that I got was someone I had already fought. So we ended up, like, being really cool. She's awesome. But that wouldn't have been my first choice either, you know?
I get it. And I believe that room you're talking about to the left, isn't that where the heavyweights are?
Yeah, that's where the heavyweights from the other team were. So I think it was,
How long from the time that you entered the room, and I know, you know, filming is done, and last night was episode 4 of what we're watching. How long, you know, was it from the time you stepped into the house until you fought, till you actually fought?
So I stepped into the house Sunday, and I believe I fought that Thursday. I was the first one, so I fought that week.
Did you expect to be thrown right in, or did you think that it would take, you know, a couple days or in TV time a couple weeks?
You know, coming in, I let go of all expectations except for the reality that I was going to fight. So I knew that coming in late, I could possibly have the first fight, or I could wait, you know, or I could be a second choice or a third choice. So I just kind of, like, mentally prepared that I would fight if they wanted me to, and I just had to be ready to say yes. And, you know, one of my coaches back home even told me, he's like, if you get the opportunity to fight first, take it. Because that means you get to rest longer. And if you, you know, mess up the other girl, she might not be able to fight anymore. Like, take the opportunity to fight first. So when they said you're fighting first, I was like, fine, I'll take it. I'll be the first one to go.
Did you, before you got that advice from that coach, did you want to be that first fight? Or did you think, you know, getting, you know, used to the surroundings would have been better?
I don't know. Looking back, I think just the way it happened, I didn't have much time to, like, think and, you know, mentally prepare and say, like, oh, okay, I got this, you know, I'm better. I know how she fights. Like, I saw her in the practice room and we were all warming up and they chose teams. I had no time to, like, to think like that. You know, they said you're fighting and I said, okay. So all I thought was, like, it's go time. Like, just get ready. But that's the only thing that was, like, going through my mind. Get ready, get ready, get ready. But I kind of like the way it panned out. You know, I feel like if I would have waited to fight, the nerves would have built, and maybe it would have been a little bit difficult to perform. But the way I just jumped in there, it made it a lot easier for me.
Isn't it funny how, you know, like, you almost didn't get that chance, like you said, to get nervous and to overthink things. And, like, for you, when you got in there, like, what was your, like, not having the chance to kind of have go through and know who it is that you're fighting or kind of their fighting style, what were things you tried to focus on? Like, just basically, did you try and kind of gauge things and learn as the fight went, or did you just kind of stick to your game plan that you've been working on the last few weeks in camp?
You know, going in not knowing anything about my opponent, you know, and they said they may have, like, switched the opponent, I just focused on what I could control, and that was the way I fight, and that was my game plan. And I always think, like, coming into a camp, you know, it's hard to learn something new and then be able to pull it off. So I just like to repeat and practice on the things that I already know and I know I'm good at. And I know that even if the other person knows, like, for example, I'm good with my takedowns, I can execute them, you know, no matter what, because I'm always practicing them. So I just, you know, went back to, like, what I know best, and that's just, you know, being a pressure fighter, attacking, and just putting on the pressure.
You spoke on how hard it is to work on something new in camp and then put it to action. How long does it usually take for you to get comfortable enough practicing something and be like, okay, I'm going to go try this? Because I do know where you're coming from as far as working new techniques, and you do it in practice. When you're on the biggest stage, like, I don't want to go mess it up and it costs me trying something new. So for you, when do you feel comfortable enough to go and try new things in the cage?
You know, I don't like to put like a time limit, like say like, oh, okay, I'll practice this a month and then I'll start like figuring out how to incorporate into like live or into a fight. I'll just keep practicing it. And then I don't know if you're familiar with this feeling, but like when you practice a move and you practice it and then you hit it and then it just feels so good in your body and you're like, oh shit, like
yeah.
I got this. Like I know how to do it now. And then it just progresses from there. And you just hit it naturally and live. And you don't have to think about implementing it. That's kind of how, like, I go. I just go based on, like, how my body feels. Like, I'll have a coach teach me something new. I'll practice it. And then once I can hit it and it feels good, I'll just happen naturally. It'll just evolve on its own.
Okay, first, I just want to clarify. She said ship, S-H-I-P. You know, she knows that I was in the Navy, so she said ship. Second, I'm kind of curious. A couple of moments ago, you said that your coach told you that it would be best to, you know, to have the first fight. I'm curious, who was that coach?
Coach Stevenson's over in Temecula at Dan Henderson's athletic facility.
Oh, very interesting. Let's go to the phone lines. Who's on the phone with us right now?
Hey, Laura!
Oh, no! How awesome. Hey, Coach.
My favorite thing of last night's episode as I was watching, and nothing to take away from, you know, the fight and your win or anything, is the fact that your coach is my good friend. I love the guy to death, mm-hmm. Joe Daddy, Joe Stevenson.
That is so cool. This is such a wonderful surprise. I feel so lucky to be able to hear your voice from so far, Coach. So awesome.
How's everything going? I watched the show. It was amazing. I was so proud.
Oh, that means a lot. Thank you so much.
That other girl is such a nice girl.
She was, you know, she has a genuine nice heart, you know, in the house. She was nice. I like what she said on the show about being able to flip the switch. She definitely flipped the switch. You know, I walked in the cage and saw her face and I was like, oh, this girl means business.
When I heard her, you know, say she's going to make the best out of it, even though she had lost, she's going to continue. That just made me feel so good because that's a month of like expert training and conditioning and the top level, so that's just very smart.
That was awesome of her, because that's all you can ask from your teammates is to help out, and she literally like helped out everyone in her team to the weight cuts, to everything. She was fully present, so it was cool to watch from like my viewpoint, where like I know I was still active and she wasn't, and she was still engaged and helpful with everybody. She didn't like clock out at all.
Joe, let me ask you this. Tell us a little bit about Laura that we didn't either see or catch in last night's episode.
Well, to tell you the truth, what I saw with her talking about the fight was super professional. She's super like that when it comes fight time, but the rest of the time with Laura is just beautiful and love and hard work. Like, one of the types of people that you expect, you are always going to see the best out of them. If they're having a bad day, no matter what, Laura's the type of person that gives it her all, and it inspires other people in the room.
Awesome. Laura, tell me a little bit, you know, about Joe. Obviously, I know a lot about Joe, and how you connected and how you got involved with his gym.
So I met Joe because he was coming up to teach over at the training lab. And then when the whole pandemic hit and all the gyms closed, Temecula was still open, and he invited me over there. And I immediately said yes, because when I had the first practice with him, I loved the intensity. And not only the intensity that he brings, but just his, like, analytical viewpoint. He is so strategic. Like, there's always a reason for why you do something. And I love that. I'm not like that yet. Like, I'll go in a fight, and I'll just kind of go sporadic for a bit, and I forget that you have to play strategy. And Joe, like, has taught me that, like, 100 times. So going over and making the move to Temecula was amazing. Like, working around him, working around his mindset, and just his the way he coaches, he always knows how to bring the energy up in the room and bring the best out of everybody.
Well, Randy, she works so hard. She even grabs Dan's attention. Dan takes time to work with her, too. It's like, when you have somebody like that, they just get your attention.
Thank you, Coach.
No problem.
Great stuff. Well, it's been way too long since you and I have spoken, Joe. Well, we need to touch base. We need to get you back on. We need to reconnect, and we both need to go back to the White House together.
Oh, that was a blast.
it was forever ago, but it was a lot of fun. All right, Joe, thanks for popping on. Love you, man.
I love you too, brother. You guys have a great one.
You too.
Take care. Joe Stevenson from back in the day. When I saw that, I'm like, I can't wait. I texted him right away. I said, you need to come on tomorrow. I love that guy.
She sounded genuinely excited and happy. That was, she's awesome though. Yeah, that was amazing.
Laura.
Yeah?
Laura. Okay. I wanted to ask you, you know, just as I was getting ready to bring Joe on, I saw Juliana, you know, coaching, and how much coaching were you able to get from her leading up to, and again, we're only talking about up to yesterday's episode, you know, how much coaching were you able to get in, and how different was it from what you get from Joe back at home?
I was able to be coached a lot by her just because the way she rearranged practices was the people who were fighting, they focused more on. So I was able to work with her. I feel like she's also a pressure fighter. So I got that from her too, just putting on the pressure, being heavy, like, especially up against the wall, like, you know, putting all your body pressure up against them, which is kind of similar to Joe. Like, he's a wrestler, you know, so he taught me how to stay heavy, you know, continue with the pressure and everything. It wasn't too much of a difference, to be honest. I immediately felt comfortable when I walked on the mat and Juliana started teaching.
You said they took your phone and stuff away when you got there. How soon after your first time when you were able to get back to your phone, how much love and, you know, support did you get from fans and your friends and family? And what was that like to see that when you were able to, you know, get back in touch?
You know, it was such a weird experience because, you know, you don't hear your loved one's voice for like a month, you know? So actually hearing my boyfriend's voice and my mom's voice and my dad's voice, it was like a whole new sensory experience. Like, I got re-immersed to what their voice sounded like. It was beautiful. And then being able to touch base with everybody, it made me just be filled with gratitude. Like, I have a great support system. I have a great home base. And even though I didn't talk to them for a month, they were cheering me on. Like, I came back with texts every day from my boyfriend. You know, he sent me a video every day since I was gone. So, and I got texts from friends and family. So it was, yeah, I came back to just, you know, being loved and just, yeah, supported, which was awesome.
Very, very, very good stuff. Ultimate Fighter can be seen on ESPN Plus. Laura, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a cool box of socks from Odd Sock Official. And when you get a chance, whenever you see Joe next, have him tell you the White House story, how and what we did at the White House back in the day.
Oh, man, I bet it's going to be crazy. I can't wait.
It is. It was him, Greg Jackson, and myself. It was quite interesting.
Oh,
Laura, thank you very much. Hopefully we'll get you back on in the upcoming weeks, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for everything, guys. You have a good day.
You as well. So that was my little surprise when I saw that, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's Joe Stevenson, Joe Daddy. And I did mean to bring up, and we'll have him on, you know, again within the next week or two, 10 years. He's been clean and sober, and probably just sober, not just clean, but you always attach the two. And, and I said in a text, I go, you know, I miss those old days, you know, just like I miss the old locker room back in the day before Caleb, before, you know, back in the Mike Allstott, Warren Sapp. It was different because, you know, cell phones, no social media. It was just totally different. And I said, I miss those days back, you know, with you back then. He goes, I don't. He goes, I've been, you know, clean, or I've been sober 10 years. So big ups to him, and I should have congratulated him live on the air as well.
You know, I was just on the cusp of that, like, transition from, like, I went to school for a long time and I didn't have a phone. Like, I didn't have I think I got my first cell phone, like, my eighth grade year or my freshman year in high school was my first, like, or eighth grade, I think, was my first cell phone. And so, like, I remember when Twitter started and I was like, this isn't going to be a big deal. Like, who cares about Twitter and Instagram? Like, who wants to see pictures of people all day? And, like, you know, it's like bootleg Facebook, you know, Facebook, you can do both. And so
MySpace.
Yeah. I was there for MySpace, you know? And so it's just AIM, AOL, you know, all those things. And so it's just like, I kind of get caught in this little limbo of, like, I'm just like, you know, like, I can detach sometimes and, like, just kind of not be on social media and stuff like that. And I see some kids, I'm starting to get to that, like, the old man. That's like, oh, these kids these days.
Now, Caleb, do you still have the same number you were issued when you were in eighth grade?
No, I don't. I had it up until 2 years ago, and I had an issue with a lady friend.
Okay.
And it required that I change my cell phone number.
Can you tell me which ones I can delete?
How many do you have?
I have a couple.
Okay.
You know, but it's not just you. I mean, Brad Penny, I have four numbers from him.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Sylvia, I have two, you know, because guys change numbers.
Yeah.
Matt Hughes, I believe I have six different numbers. You know, because he would constantly change. And
I almost felt bad, like, when I changed. Because, like, you got to text people now. And then people were just like, man, I'm tired of saving your number, changing your number. So I get frustrated with my friends, like, save my new number. I'm like, well, it's like number five, right? Like, at this point.
It's just messing me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, or message Tom on MySpace.
Yeah, that's my only friend.
Yeah, everybody got him first. He was the first friend.
He's the only one I got. Yeah. I don't have anybody else.
All right, bottom of the hour. Let's hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Quick from the Philadelphia Eagles, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
E-Tech e-bikes provides the best in quality, technology, innovation, power, and luxury. Eco-friendly, foldable, and powered by Baofeng Motors, Shimano Brakes, Tesla, and Samsung batteries, E-Tech bikes are ideal for commuting, recreation, mountain, or sport use. Built for optimal power and energy efficiency, E-Tech e-bikes have up to 100-mile range and speeds up to 30 miles per hour. Use our discount code 100OFF today at etechbikes.com. That's E-T-E-K bikes.com.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mark Wiley from the Baltimore Orioles. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. This title is fun. Knockout Radio. I'm turning you off. You're done. brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. Caleb, so what's up? What do you got?
Man, what do I have? I got a lot.
You didn't play the football, so he's got.
I got a lot to talk about. So one of the things I've been noticing. Oh, first of all, we just talked about USC. Let's stay on USC for a couple minutes before we move on to this next topic. Khabib says he's coming back if Charles Oliveira beats his boy, and I'm blanking right
now.
Islam. What are your thoughts on that?
Do you think he's just BSing
just to get his guy fight?
He's done. Yeah. He's not. And I'm wrong on a regular basis, but you know. Everything he has said, he has stayed true to.
Yeah.
And he said he gave his word to his mom, and I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that he doesn't need the money. You know, he's not running, you know, Eagle Fight Club and all that. So, no, I don't see that. And I agree with a couple things that he said. You know, everybody's saying Oliveira, you know, it's what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And he made a comment. He said, I've never been hit in the face. Right?
Yeah. Well, he has.
I don't know. Has he?
Yeah, he got rocked once.
Once.
Yeah.
Right, so once.
I can remember once. Yeah.
Okay. You know, undefeated.
Yeah.
You know, and that says a lot. I don't know. I'm not going to say that Oliveira is the GOAT of that division.
No. And then we are, and we've had this discussion before because people want to say Habib is the GOAT and we're prisoner of the moment.
Right.
Right. And we've talked about this. He does not, I don't care how dominant he was, he does not have the resume to stand up to Jon Jones.
No way.
He doesn't.
Oh, no, of course not. I'm just saying in the division.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, we can't defend his title like four times against nobody names. I mean, like,
I won't say nobody.
I wouldn't say
title,
nobody.
His title defenses were
like,
good.
Like not
look at who he's beat the last three or four fights.
Okay.
Go ahead and read it.
I will look it up.
Yeah, you do that. So Justin Gaethje, yep. Poirier.
McGregor.
I mean, his list of what he's done his last couple fights.
All three of those guys are already on their decline. They're already going
McGregor
down.
McGregor was at his peak when he beat him.
Poirier wasn't on a decline. Justin Gaethje isn't on a decline.
Yeah.
Poirier and Gaethje are the same fighter.
Let me give you some criticism. Or really, this is I'm trying to help you.
Oh, please do.
Keep your mouth shut, and then you don't sound stupid.
It's not that. Look, Poirier and Gaethje are both 4-5 when they did that Rock'em Sock'em fight. They both should stay at 4-5 or lower. None of those guys actually deserve title shots. They weren't that good. There was just nobody else above them, and that's why they kept getting opportunities.
And that would be the case still.
Yeah.
So there's still nobody above Poirier. There's still nobody.
That's the problem.
There's still nobody above Chandler.
But those guys, they weren't that good.
I think definitely we get caught up in the prison of the moment.
It's always that way.
And that's kind of how it is. And people want to see, you know, because they feel like, oh, you know, Oliveira is the king of the ground game. How will his ground game stand up to Habib's ground game? But it's two different styles of ground game. Right. Like, it's not the same thing. Right. Habib is taking you in the ground to smash your face, like he loves to say.
Right.
He's trying to get a submission and, you know, work techniques and those kind of things. So it's a different kind of thing.
We can't ever see this. What the fight that I would love to see.
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's like saying Babe Ruth against Barry Bonds. It can't be done. But I would have loved to have seen Matt Hughes in his day at his very peak against Habib at his peak. Mm. It's two strong wrestlers. Can either one of them hold the other one down? Now, yes, Habib did hold down a bear.
Yeah.
But it was a baby bear.
Yeah.
And he was a baby.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
But you're right. It's two. One's jiu-jitsu and one is just wrestling and strength.
Yeah.
So it's two, which is what mixed martial arts was built on.
Yeah.
Your strength, my strength, one up against each other and see who's best. Do you got that list yet?
Yeah,
or are you that
slow? I got it.
Ahead.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Do you know how to read?
Yeah.
Okay.
Vusal Bayavolo.
No, start his last fight.
I'm starting at number one.
No, start his last fight.
What an idiot.
Like,
these guys are all people that no one's ever heard of.
Start from the end.
Okay. Justin Gaethje.
Okay, I've heard
Justin
of him.
Justin Poirier.
Yeah, not bad.
McGregor. Ally Kenta actually was the toughest fight for him of all of them. He went 5 rounds. We were there in Brooklyn, 223. We were there for that. Edson Barbosa. Michael Johnson. Back to nice to see Johnson come back. It was nice to see him back and they get a win. Before that, Darrell Horsher, Rafael Dos Anjos, Pat Healy, Abel Trujillo.
Again, we're only talking about his last
Thiago
couple fights.
Thiago Tavares. Yeah.
We're talking about his last couple fights. Gleason
Tibu.
His title defense.
Gleason was all right.
Kamal Shamal.
Whatever. It's better.
I don't know how to say these names.
But
there's like 7 Vs.
But yeah, man, it's interesting. And there's also been talks of, instead of Islam fighting Oliveira, Islam is going to fight somebody else. And they say it leaves a little sliver for Conor to pop back up and get this title fight.
Of course he's coming back.
It's all about the money. Listen. Yeah, but I don't see him getting a title fight. I just don't. I know it's about money.
Conor.
I get that. I get
even
it's Conor.
It'd be an interim belt.
Nothing he does is normal.
Yeah, that's true.
He's like me.
You know, he's one of those guys who can sit. He can lose 3 fights in a row, and he's going to get called out by the champion.
Right?
They want
red panty night. Yeah. It's red panty night.
Yeah,
you know about that, right? That's what he said in the press conference. So that's where, when he turned to Jeremy Stevens, this is the greatest line ever. The greatest. I have bought maybe three T-shirts in my life. Okay. This is one of the three I bought.
Yeah.
It's where he turns to Jeremy Stevens. I got to be really careful or I can lose my license.
I think I know.
And, you know, Jeremy's like, I'll fight. And he turns and he goes, who the fork is that this guy? Right. This guy. You know, and Jeremy gets all mad and everybody gets all mad and Cowboy gets all mad. And he goes, and this is true. And Connor goes, everybody wants to fight me. It's red panty night. That's when you make your money, is when you fight me. Mm-hmm. So he'll always be called out.
And speaking he said, you call your wife and say, baby, we made it. Connor picked me.
Now, because Cerrone's in some little bit of a controversy with the internet star, gambler, professional gambler, Dan Vizarin. Apparently, there's some altercation with Anthony Smith's family. They were drunk and they stole the family seats from the UFC cage side when Anthony was fighting, and they. It's a big controversy right now.
When did this happen?
Yeah, I can look that up as well.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Only because Cowboy was supposed to fight in the last fight. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. They've rebooked his fight. I think his fight is in Austin.
Huh.
You know, the upcoming fight that got postponed because of his.
I might go check that one out. I love Austin. My brother lives out in Austin.
I'm thinking about going.
Yeah, Austin's a great city.
That's where my famous line, I was going with a former co-host. I think he was better than Matt. Well, no, he was better than Matt, too. So we ate at the Tampa airport. We land in Austin, and I go, hey, you want to get something to eat? Great barbecue here.
Yeah.
He goes, no, we just ate. My famous line, I didn't know you had to be hungry to eat.
This is true.
And then we ate some great barbecue. So, no, I don't think Khabib will come back.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. One can dream. One can dream.
So Steve and I went to Eagle. I guess it was last weekend, right? It was last Friday. Main event controversy, co-main event controversy.
Yeah.
The controversy in the main event really isn't controversy. Junior Dos Santos had a shoulder pop out in the middle of the fight.
Yeah.
Winning the fight. And on the line, there was talks. Eagle had talks with Bellator that they were going to co-promote a Fedor fight with Junior Dos Santos, which is huge.
Yeah.
Not controversy. He got injured. Co-main event, I still don't get this. I've even reached out to some of my judges' friends who told me it was right. I don't get it. So Hector Lombard is fighting Thiago Silva. Thiago was on a couple weeks ago. Thiago throws a knee to a grounded fighter. The fight gets stopped. Hector looked over at him like, what the hell? I still don't understand how that wasn't a disqualification. Yeah. It was a no contest. So my buddy, the judge, I won't say his name, he said, well, it was an unintentional knee. No, he intentionally threw the knee.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I threw an intentional punch at your temple. What are you talking about?
Right? Yeah. It was an intentional knee. He was down. It was accidental. You probably thought he was going to stand up, but he didn't. How is that a no contest?
Yeah.
It bothers me. It bothers me.
There's been a lot of talk about, as the sport grows, about judging and how, you know, judges make decisions and, you know, like the controversy. But I think Cormier just got, you know, in trouble. Or not in trouble, but he had a little issue because he said that I think Holly Holm should have won.
Well, everybody says Holly Holm should have won.
Then he goes back, so I'm going to take judging classes. I misspoke and this, that, and the third. And so we spoke about this briefly before. Like, what are your thoughts? How do you – because, again, it's subjective.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You know, there's some fights where you can clearly see, like, yeah, that guy's the one won the fight. He won every round. But then there's things where, like, Izzy has a fight – and Izzy is very surgical, and he's not a guy who's going to take big risks to go throw bombs. He's going to point you to death,
right?
Like John Jones does almost to a point, right?
Right.
I'm going to give you leg kicks where people are thinking I took two punches, so you won the round. I hit you 15 times. I won that round.
Right.
You know, so, like, is it a thing where people need to educate themselves more on the fight game, or is there a way to allow fans to understand better what the judges are doing?
I think both, but the problem is there's no set rule. You know, whether it's the octagon control, whether it's the ground game, whether it's striking, whether it's... So the problem is you may be a judge and you train boxing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a judge and I train jiu-jitsu. So I'm thinking maybe jiu-jitsu is going to score a higher point than you're thinking boxing is going to start.
Yeah.
You know, what counts more? One devastating punch, you know, not a knockdown, just a devastating punch, or eight good punches. And if eight is more than that one big bomb, what about six good punches?
Yeah.
So nobody has a set. And here's the thing that I would throw out. Robbery. You talk about it all the time. They got robbed. It could have been a difference of one punch. Mm-hmm. It could have been a difference of one takedown. When I judge, one sec, when I judge if fighter A takes fighter B down and fighter B instantly gets up, it's a wash.
Yeah, I agree.
But some judges may give him a half a point in his mind or whatever. So you never know what every judge, but every time when you say he got robbed or she got robbed, at least two of the three people sitting there saw it a different way.
Yeah.
You know, and when I was judging, if they said a split decision, my heart goes down a little bit. I'll stand by every decision I ever made. And I'm right in my mind, but I'm like, until I hear that I was on the two and not on the one, you know, you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, did I, because the reason I started judging is I got called out by the boxing commission because I would rip the judges.
Yeah.
You know, people's lives are at stake.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not to the level of amateurs, but they're trying to get pro. They're trying to get to the UFC. So I took it very, very seriously.
I think the solution is with technology.
I can hardly wait for this.
Both fighters wear full body suits. They have sensors inside.
You can't.
And so you have low impact, you know, yellow, and then you have like high impact where it's a significant strike, and then they just tallied up at the end of the fight.
Okay, what if fighter A presses the action for 15 minutes for 12 minutes and 50 seconds?
Let the computer.
So the computer's going to know that too?
They're going to know how many punches were landed, how many punches were.
I didn't say punches landed. I just said
kicks were absorbed.
Fighter A is the aggressor. You're not going to get that on computer chips.
Well, you still have the human element to watch the fight.
I don't know if I like that either.
I don't.
That thing where it's like, I was the aggressor. Okay. And so just because you were stepping forward.
It's just another one.
Yeah.
You know, there's like nine things.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem. There's nine things. Yeah, you're right. You don't have to always be the aggressor. Ask John Jones. Stipe. Ask Stipe.
Is
he? You know, when he knocked out Verdum, he was running backwards.
Yeah.
He knocked him out.
Well, speaking of John Jones, the night in question for the.
Which night?
The Donald Cerrone and Dan Bilzerian, where they stole the seats of Anthony Smith's mother. And his entourage, he was fighting John Jones in the title fight. And so they
were. How long ago was this?
There's 235. UFC 235.
And it's just now coming out?
Well, yeah, because they went on to Michael Bisping's.
It took them that long to realize?
They went on Michael Bisping's Imposter
Radio. We don't need to plug it.
Well, podcast. I mean, Imposter Radio.
That's a podcast.
But yeah, like they went on the podcast and he talked about how. Don and Dan were drunk, and they came down. They stole the seats, and then they made the whole row slide down, and they just took the seats away from his mom. And Anthony was upset about it.
And this happened 2.5 years ago.
You know, that happened to – I got tickets for some people close to me before, and there were some, like, random people sitting in their seats.
That happened to me Saturday night.
Yeah, and after they did. And afterwards, you know, they told me, like, hey, like, you know, like, these people sit in our seats. And I'm just like, you should tell them to move next time.
Right.
And they're like, well, we want to sit next to our family. I'm like, well, he should have got you seats next to your family. Like, what are you talking about? We all get the same amount. We all get the same book. And I can tell them, hey, I want seven seats together. I want three seats together. I want two here, two over here. Like, you get to choose.
Right.
So you sit where you're supposed to sit. Like, that stuff bothers me.
So a new movie comes out next week. It's called Top Gun.
Yeah.
Okay. So my brother is on a plane, either Atlanta to Tampa or Tampa to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been told this story, so I'll say allegedly for legal purposes so I don't get in trouble, but I wasn't on the plane. So my brother goes to get on the plane, and he always sits aisle because he goes to the bathroom a lot.
Okay.
He goes to his seat, and there's some dude sound asleep, snoring in his seat. And so he goes, hey, buddy, you're in my seat. And the guy goes, well, just sit in the window. I won't say what my brother said. Well, it's the putz that's in this movie, Top Gun.
Yeah.
Miles Teller.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not Tom Cruise, but Miles Teller.
Huh.
So I really have no interest in watching the movie just because of this clown.
I'm not going to lie to you. So when I was in college.
Please don't.
It's an expression, you know.
I know.
But,
I'm going to tell you the truth. No, lie to me.
Yeah. When I was in college, our offensive calls, like our fast pace, no huddle, Coach Noel Mazzoni, he loved Top Gun. So we used like Top Gun names for like our different play calls. We had Maverick and Goose and all these different things. So
Iceman.
Yeah, exactly. We had Iceman.
Yeah.
And so he asked me one day, he goes, Caleb, do you even know where this is from? I'm just like, I don't know. No, I just memorized the words. And he goes, it's the greatest movie ever, Top Gun, blah, 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 blah. You have to watch it. I love movies. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch it. Watched it. Absolute garbage. The first one, I did not like it. I couldn't get into it, you know. And so I'm going to watch the second one and see.
If it's...
Maybe because it was, like, past the time and it was, you know, like, I don't know. I'm going to watch it and see. But, yeah, the first one, like, I couldn't get into it.
What's your thoughts on Karate Kid?
Love it.
All three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even Jaden Smith. Love him.
No, I didn't watch
that. What about Superman?
Can I finish with my Karate Kid first?
No.
How about Cobra Kai? Have you watched that?
Yeah, I did. I couldn't get into it the way I did Karate Kid.
Really?
Yeah.
How much of Cobra Kai did you watch?
Like the first four episodes.
Okay, the first season, that's all I've watched, and my buddy's in it. Billy Zabka is my buddy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's such a cool dude.
Wow, yeah.
He really is. The whole first season was awesome, and it's supposed to have gotten better. I just haven't gotten around to watch.
I'll go try it again.
Yeah, go watch.
I'll go try it again.
And just how it goes back, and you know, back when he was the bully, and now Ralph is kind of the bully. And I like what they did, at least in season one.
No, it's definitely interesting. I don't know why I just couldn't. I don't know why it didn't grab me.
What about Superman? Are you a Superman fan?
Like Man of Steel or like, the comics?
Like UFC Kevin Holland Superman fan. Because he rescued another man
who
18-wheeler that overturned yesterday.
Yeah.
This is his third heroic feat. Kevin Holland is the real life Superman.
You think he goes out looking for him?
Somebody in the comments when I was watching the video said he has a police scanner. He's just, he's ready to spring into action.
That's true. Well, that's Wes Sims.
It's awesome.
Wes Sims, the same thing happened up in Ohio.
That's awesome,
you know, he caught somebody stealing from the bookstore. He caught somebody else. He's always in the right place at the right time.
It's one of those things where people like to think that they would hop into action in those situations.
Yeah.
Where most people just look and like, oh, my God, did you see that?
Or even worse, they would record it with their phone and put it on the web. Like,
and
you know,
the fact that he could, you know, that he does that and he has the, you know, the confidence and the, you know, the wherewithal to go help people. It's pretty incredible.
Happy or disappointed that this is a no UFC weekend?
Disappointed. I love watching fights.
I mean, I do too, but it's good to have a night off.
Fair enough.
I like days off.
Well, you don't get days off because you never have days on.
I stay consistent.
Well, you know what's scary about the season we're coming into right now? In about a month, the NBA is going to be done with.
I was saying, what season? Baseball or basketball's over? Exactly. Hockey's over?
The law. Yeah, the law on sports.
There's that break or that two-month gap where there's no sports on, and that's when these sports shows just become absolutely impossible to watch because they reach for straws.
Yeah.
And some of the topics you're going to get is just like, who cares? Like, they're going to ask you 50 things about the Cowboys and how, you know, what percentage chance do the Cowboys have to win? It's like, bro, it's March.
How many times do we have to hear that Tom Brady's not at OTAs?
Yeah. No, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
And me. I'm not there.
You know what
yet.
I mean? Like, it's just like,
I'm holding out, Steve.
Like, every day, it's like how Russell Westbrook comes up every single day in Mike Talk Radio. I'm just like, you talked about this yesterday.
Right.
And the day before. And so it's just, it's going to be sad real soon when the sports is gone.
How about the controversy in the WWE? Do you know about this?
No.
So your tag team champions.
The Usos.
Well, no, the females.
Okay,
the Usos took both belts, and people are upset, and little kids were crying when RK-Bro lost. And it's all because Matt Riddle, former UFC fighter, kicked Roman Reigns in the face.
Yeah.
And the Usos and Roman Reigns cheat. No, they follow the script.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Eddie Guerrero. His song was I lie, I cheat, I steal. That was the best part about him.
So, allegedly, your tag team champions, and I don't remember their names. I think it was Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
And they walked out.
They walked out.
Because of Ronda Rousey.
So
allegedly.
What is the story behind that, real quick?
The story is behind that they were supposed to be, allegedly from what I read, they were going to main event with a couple other girls, and they basically got upset that Ronda Rousey walked in, Conor McGregor style, and won the scripted title. How can you get upset when it's A, scripted, you are the champions.
Yeah.
You know, you are getting the push. That's the deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's what the script writers tell you to do.
And, like, understand your bit. Like, this is one thing. And it's, for me, it's rare when it happens in sports. But, like, everyone's not created equal. There are stars.
And then there's superstars.
Yeah. And just you accept it. Like, it is what it is. Like, you think you want to get mad because The Rock comes in and Brock Lesnar comes in after a hiatus,
right,
and he wins the title? No, yeah, Brock Lesnar brings in billions of dollars to the industry. We're going to make him the champion.
I don't even care, and I get excited when Ronda Rousey's "I Don't Give a Damn About My Bad Reputation" music hits.
Yeah.
You know it's her. She walks down in Roddy Piper's jacket.
Yeah.
I mean, she's getting the push, and
people
she should.
People want to see it. Right. Like, it's just, it is what it is. And if you want something to be done about it, find a way to be a bigger star.
The only thing I don't like is Ronda was the heel in the UFC. Not well-liked. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've made her be loved in the WWE. She's a badass. She's "I don't give a damn about my bad reputation." And everybody's like, "Yeah, Ronda."
Yeah, it's funny how, and you know something that I saw a guy talk about the WWE, and I think this is a perfect way to put it, because a lot of people, I've had my ups and downs with them. When I was a kid, loved them. I thought it was real. When I found out it was scripted, I was heartbroken. I'm never watching it again. And now I've kind of, after watching a lot of documentaries, I've changed my perception. And this guy said, when you go to the movies, people say, "How can you watch WWE? It's fake. It's not real fighting." He said, "When you go to the movies, you're going to go get entertained.
Right, entertained.
It's a script. You know none of this stuff is real, but you enjoy it anyway." He says, "That's what wrestling is to me. I'm going to go watch a movie." And I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah. I enjoy watching. To be honest, I enjoy the mic work.
Yeah, the storytelling.
You know, it's more awesome than I do,
yeah,
you know, the other stuff.
Yeah.
But great. Some of them are fun to watch.
They are.
You know.
They are.
I miss The Shield. If you remember The Shield, Shield were, you know, the Bloodline's nothing like what The Shield used to be.
Not even the Bloodline's, the Revolution. Evolution. Was great, yeah. You know, DX. There's more, the Bloodline isn't, not my cup of tea, but, you know, hey, whatever.
To each his own. All right, final 30 seconds. Anything? You got anything?
Okay, good. I'm just ready for training camp.
You going to call me the N-word again?
Well, I won't. I got two color TVs, so even if I did, I still got an extra one. So I can use the word twice today because I got two color TVs on. I'm not racist.
See, you're friends, so you can pop them in the face. All right. Luckily, we're done, so we won't lose our FCC license. Until next week, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Men Strong and Staff Song. See you next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.